Let us now turn to read God's word, and the reading this evening is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel and chapter 10, and we're breaking in to read at verse 17. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and at verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you, that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempting him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us all understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. We continue our worship then from Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and at verse 13. Turn yet again to us, O Lord. How long thus shall it be? Let it repent thee now for those that servants are to thee. O, with thy tender mercies, Lord, us early satisfy. So we rejoice shall all our days and still be glad in thee. According as the days have been wherein we grief have had, and years wherein we ill have seen, so do thou make us glad. O, let thy work and power appear thy servant's face before, and show unto their children dear thy glory evermore. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be us upon. Our handiworks establish thou, establish them, each one. Psalm 90, from 13 to the end of the psalm, turn yet again to us, O Lord. The word of the Lord that I want us to think of this evening is there in the chapter we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and the last few verses of that chapter. Reading again at verse 38, and it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This morning we were thinking of the desire of the psalmist in Psalm 86, the prayer he had there, Lord, make my heart glad. We saw that he lost something of the joy of the salvation and the delight of the Lord, and he was looking to the Lord to minister to him, to strengthen him and to encourage him. The same experience was given to us, we thought of and looked at Psalm 3. And there was David. He was physically worn out. He was emotionally drained. He was spiritually convicted. He was down, and he was looking to the Lord to be the lifter up of his head. They were all waiting on refreshment from the Lord. And sometimes we're like that ourselves. We can be through different circumstances, different experiences, whatever life holds for us. We can sometimes be worn out and flattened and bushed. And we need, yes, to have our hearts gladdened. And oftentimes that happens by exactly what Mary shows to us here this evening. She took time to linger in the company of the Lord. She took time to sit and to listen, but to absorb and to apply what the Lord was speaking to her of spiritual things. We need to do the same ourselves, to listen to what the Lord is saying of what he's done on our behalf, what he gives to us day after day, fresh and new, and what he's prepared for us when our journey through this world is over. These are the things that are precious and valuable to the believer. These are the things that Mary lingered to hear. And these are the things that we need to hear ourselves likewise. And especially we need to constantly examine ourselves, because There are certain things we all feel the pressure of life today. Things that we've got to attend to. Things that we've got to give ourselves to. But the Lord, time after time, breaks into our life and comes above all of these things. And the Lord tells us there are things, some things, that are much more important than the whole agenda of life that we've got. God cuts across our plans. We often quote the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." But there is also, in many other different places, that priority given to us. And just as popular and just as well known is there that simple text in John's Gospel, chapter 3. You must be born again. And when we read that chapter of John's Gospel, there are three different places where the Lord says, "Verily, verily." And that phrase simply cuts across the agenda that Nicodemus had and sets the priority that the Lord has for him and for us all. The Lord is telling us of the priority above all the questions that he was going to bring to the Lord. Jesus is saying to him, and he's saying to us, you must be born again. In other places, later on in John's Gospel, chapter 9, we have that man who was born blind. And again, the inquiry made by the scribes and the Pharisees as to how it happened that he was now seeing. And they inducted an investigation. And eventually the man at the end has to speak for himself. And he says it simply. And he gives the testimony that every Christian has. "One thing I know. Once I was blind, now I can see. I can see the beauty of them and relish the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love him for what he's done for my soul." The Lord comes and he sets time and again for us the things that are important and the things that are priceless. We saw just a few weeks back, the way in which that rich young ruler came to the Lord and asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord had to sweep the deck clean. He had to set aside all of the human possessions that this man had. And he brought again a very simple, vital possession that that man lacked. You remember the heading we had for the sermon. A man who had everything, but he lacked something. He lacked that immediate personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Things that bear down upon our lives. Sometimes sheer indifference or apathy. Sometimes we're living in a world today where, yes, people don't listen to what we say of the Christian testimony. We try to speak about the Lord and people just don't want to hear. And we can be flattened, we can be put down. And how do we keep going in that kind of situation and so many others that come into our life? How do we keep fresh as Christian believers? How do we keep fresh our Christian faith? Mary here tells us exactly what we should do. We find here Mary sitting and listening and absorbing the words of Jesus. And that's the priority the Lord gives us, and that's the experience he sets for us. We know it. We know it time after time after time. But how often we've got to be reminded to do it. Simply because of the pressure of other things taking it from us. So I want tonight, very simply and briefly, to look at the life of Mary. The first thing I want us to think about is the choice in her life. The choice in her life. Bethany, the home village, seemed a place of retreat that the Lord chose and was often in. He came there for a meal, and it involved Mary and Martha making it and serving it. And while they waited, Mary sat. Martha tried to listen to what was being said, but she couldn't do both things. She couldn't listen and prepare. And so when Mary sat, Martha complained. And as Martha complained, the Lord approved of what she had done. We're not told what this one thing that is needful that she had done. We're not told of what that part that she's done that would not be taken from her. But what we can say is that by sitting there, by taking in the words of her Lord, she was doing that very thing which the Lord commended in her. Many things. We've already hinted at and drawn out some of them. Many things today go on round about us. We see it not only in our own lives, but others round about us. People are chasing and struggling after so many things. They're prepared to go to costly lengths, trying to get something for their life. But again, the Bible tells us, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word spoken by our Lord and our God. Mary discovered that. And the question is, have we? She was no longer taken up by herself for her own duties, or her own priorities, her own pressures. Her heart and her soul had gone out to the Lord. That was now the joy and the delight of her soul. We're not told where that happened, where that confrontation took place. We're not told when it happened. These are the words of our personal testimony that comes from each and every Christian believer. And in a real sense, these things are very personal details. The way the Lord deals with me and the way the Lord has dealt with you, if you're a believer also, they're two very different stories and testimonies. So the important question is, do we love the Lord? The pattern and the details might be different, but the important end point is always the same. Do you love? Do we love the Lord? Satisfied with his word, prepared to sit and to listen and learn more and more of him. We may have difficulty telling exactly when it happened with us. We may have difficulty explaining and telling of how the change came about upon us. But the question really is, has it happened at all? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? He deals with all of us in the same way. He confronts us with what we are really like ourselves. We are so good. We are so good at creating a false picture that all is well and all is right with our soul. But the Lord The Lord breaks across that kind of false picture and he makes us look into a mirror. The mirror of this word, where we have a reflection of our true character and what we are really like. And when that happens, we realize just how bad and serious the problem is with us. We're carrying a weight of guilt that we cannot remove. There's a stain upon our life that we cannot rub out and we cannot cover up. The Lord confronts us with what we are really like spiritually. And when we see ourselves in that color, we are convicted and we become concerned. Things that never bothered us flare up in our minds, come into our minds. We are troubled. What's beyond death? How can I face such a God as is revealed to me and shown to me in my Bible? How can I face God with the way I am? And we become troubled over these questions that once in the past never bothered us in the slightest. But we become concerned when God begins to work in our soul. And when he brings us to that low point, when we've got no hope in ourselves, in his grace, he breaks into that dark picture. And we make no apologies for calling it a dark picture, because that's what it is. It's just the bad news about ourselves. But into that dark picture, if you go and read Ephesians chapter 2, it's beautiful the way in which little words change the whole tone, because there it's describing these things about ourselves. And then it says, but God. Into that dark picture, the Lord bursts in his mercy and his pardon and in his grace. And we see and we listen to the gospel in a way that we've never done before. The concern that we have is lifted when we come to faith and trust in the one that he has provided and given, the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son. And we find that we're satisfied now with what he has said and what he has done. What he says is meat and drink to our souls. Whatever might be the path we've got to walk as we follow the Lord from that point onwards. It might be lonely, it might be hard, it might be heavy. But we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that stays closer than any brother to his people. We can turn to him and find the strength and the wisdom and the grace that we need. We can find, no matter what need there is, he is there to meet it out of the multicolored grace of God. So the question is then to ourselves, what is the Lord Jesus Christ to us? Have we chosen that good part? Do we know anything of the experiences of God's work in our soul? With all of the pressing demands in our lives, where does Jesus fit in? This is the gospel that we hear, the gospel that embraced Mary, the gospel that brings freedom from guilt and fellowship with God. The gospel that says, taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. We indeed, if we believe in Jesus Christ, have riches which no man can take from us. And no situation can deprive us of. The gift of forgiveness and salvation that changes life as it changed Mary. A great message of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So resplendent and attractive when set against the darkness of the way we've lived and the way we've planned and organized so much of our life. And God says to us, as he said to Mary, one thing is necessary and vital. And the question from her life challenges us still. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? So yes, the simple thing about her life, first of all, coming to us, the choice in her life. But the second thing I want us to think of about this woman is not only the choice in her life, but the love of her life. That love that she had, it was not in words only. We are told in another place in John's Gospel, the 12th chapter there, that again, where do we find Mary? We find her at the feet of Jesus. And we see her perform a beautiful action. It's another feast. It's another feast in honor of Jesus. But we're not told of any talk or conversation that takes place. She's sitting and simply at home. Silent. But that love which she has to the Lord is indeed a mighty force. Some of the greatest work is not always done by the best talkers. The greatest work is not always done by the best talkers. We see the life of Mary talking loudly, and she never said a word. We see the love in her life so transparent in what she there did. She took this ointment and she anointed the feet of Jesus. It was costly, but that did not concern her, because she had received the priceless words of life. And now, nothing was too much for the Lord. She had experienced the Savior searching her, finding her, calling her, taking her to himself. She had experienced the searching of the shepherd, and so she now anoints him as her Savior. And nothing was too costly for that demonstration of her love to him. Oh yes, she was criticized for it. The others thought it was a waste, that it could have been used for giving to the poor and such like. But as we've said, nothing was too much for her. And particularly the Lord himself approves of what she has done. She has done a good work to me, associated with my death and my burial. Her heart was bursting and overflowing in love to the Lord. And there was nothing but the very best for him. She did something there. Not only did she anoint his feet with that oil, but she let her hair down. To do that in that company and at that time meant that she would have loose morals. As soon as she would have done it, she would have raised an eyebrow or two from the company that she was in. It was against all the tradition. But Mary didn't stop. She didn't stop to measure the reaction of what she was doing. All that she was aware of was the love that she had to the Lord. At a bursting point, with a discovery of Jesus as her Savior and her Lord, knowing the pardon and the peace that he gave, experiencing the freedom and the fullness and living now for him, the satisfaction of his words to her soul. And that love, it could not be contained. It could not be restricted within human bounds and human limits. She didn't think twice of what other people might say. All that she had was her heart going out in her love to her Savior. A simple application of that surely comes to ourselves. How do we live? And how do we give to our Lord? Plain and simple. Open public statements. Whatever we might do, without any words coming from us, just simply something that we do that is so different from what other people might be doing. Something that we do that will raise indeed an eyebrow and turn a head and make people think, why is he or she doing that? But whatever be the event, through a single thing, all the world knows that Jesus Christ is your Lord. Perhaps the most vivid way of illustrating it is whenever we have a communion service and people come forward, as we have in our tradition, to sit around the table of the Lord and to partake in the bread and in the wine. And when people see this one or that one coming forward to the table, yes, indeed, it might raise an eyebrow because of what they know about us in the past. But what we're saying is something about us in the present. We love the Lord because of what he has now done for us. He has first claim on my life, and he's the most important person to me. We love him, and we seek to make it known publicly to all round about us. And that love cannot be contained or restricted. So yes, there's that way of demonstrating that love to the Lord. Or again, there's this. Are we looking over our shoulder as to what people might say or think about us? What will my pals say? What will my friends think? What will the rest of my family do to me or with me when I make public this commitment to the Lord? The love of her life. Do you love the Lord enough to show it, to speak of it to others? Have we experienced his grace? Do we know his mercy in dealing with us? Have we got that sensitivity, that simple, deep passion? We've asked the question just recently, I know, but it does no harm to repeat it for ourselves right now. Right at the very end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, we find there another woman, no name. But there she is in tears before the Lord. in tears because of the awareness of the scale of her own sin and the way in which that sin has been forgiven to her. And the way in which she was in tears out of thanksgiving to him. The love of her life. She wasn't concerned as to what people might think. Well, why is she in tears? And why is she behaving like that? These things didn't even enter her head. They didn't enter with Mary here. They didn't enter in Luke 7. And the question simply is, when did we last shed tears before our Lord? When were we last as sensitive as that over what he's done for us? When was our love as simple and as transparent as that? What she did, Mary, sitting at the feet of the Lord, drinking in his word, sitting at the feet of the Lord and anointing him and wiping him with her hair. One last thought. Yes, the choice in our life. Yes, the love in our life. One last thought. What about the delight of her life? What was the delight of her life? We see it here. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. All I want to do is to take the words and the confession that Peter gave and put them upon the lips of Mary. Remember what Peter said when the Lord asked them, the disciples, "Will you also go away?" The Lord had challenged the great company after he had fed them, and so many of them went back from this company, but the disciples stuck by him. And he turned and he asked the disciples, "Will you also go away?" And Peter says, speaking for them all and speaking for us and speaking for Mary, "To whom shall we go? For thou alone hast the words of everlasting life." We cannot think of going anywhere else but staying in the company of the Lord. We have tasted that the Lord is good and gracious. We've heard so much from his lips. He has spoken so much to encourage our souls. He has met us time after time after time when we've wandered and wobbled, when we've gone astray to the left or to the right, when we have grown cold and drifted back. So many variations in our Christian life and experience. And how has the Lord dealt with us when we've done these things? Time after time, he's magnified his grace. Time after time, he has magnified his mercy and his compassion. Yes, even times when we've gone more than just a few steps off the path. When we've gone a good few steps off the path. Has not the Lord rounded us up and brought us back? And every time it happens, we simply say these words with deeper meaning and conviction. To whom else can we go? But not only does he say that, not only does Mary say that, but he also says this. For thou alone hast the words of everlasting life. The words that Jesus speaks are not mere words or sounds. There's something powerful and refreshing. There's something so different about what Jesus says. You might go through the great writers and poets and philosophers and speakers. You can go through all of the great history of mankind. But you will not find a single one who can speak like Jesus spoke to his people. Never man spake like this man. Remember the soldiers that were sent to capture Jesus? They heard him speak and they came back with that testimony. Never man spake like this man. He said things that were different. He spoke to our souls about spiritual things. He spoke about the need to be pardoned and to be forgiven. And he spoke about the power to change our lives and set us and make us go free. The words of life. The words that we long to hear, we need to hear, of pardon and forgiveness. To whom then will we go? There is no one else we can go to, because there is no one else that speaks as Jesus speaks and says things that we need and want to hear. So many distractions in life. So many distractions in church life, so much in society round about us. We need to stand loosely by all these things. We need to have a priority time after time, one thing above all other things. To commit our lives to the Lord, to know his company, the riches of his company. To hear his words, precious words, with spiritual truth in them. Mary sat, lingered, and heard. And we are shown what we can do still today. Yes, coming back to what we had in Psalm 86, Lord, gladden my heart. The psalmist in Psalm 3, the lifter up of my head. How did these things happen today? They happen when we do the one thing that Mary did. Sat and listened and lingered. Let them enter her soul. Change her. Produce that love in such a dramatic and vivid and powerful way. The way in which that love could not be contained, limited or restricted. She knew something about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he had done for her that went to the very heart of her life, center and core, and changed her. She leaves us that example then, that we too can sit at his feet and we too can drink in his words and we too can live and love like she did. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let us pray. O Lord our God, words fail us to express the worship that we carry in our hearts for the way in which thou dost minister to us. Words fail to convey the praise that we hold for thy goodness and thy mercy known by us. And we ask of thee, Lord, that thou wouldst deal with us time after time to feed our souls yet more of the rich and precious words of Jesus Christ, thy Son, what he has done on behalf of his people, the rich promises given to them for their good and well-being, for the way in which we can wait upon thee and hold on to these promises without any hesitation or reserve, knowing that we shall not be disappointed in so doing. So, Lord, make us to heed the example of those who have gone before us. Learn from them that we might be different ourselves today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and we're singing at verse 8 to 13, four stanzas. O taste and see that God is good. Who trusts in him is blessed. Fear God, his saints, none that in fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. O children, hither do ye come, and unto me give ear. I shall you teach to understand how ye the Lord should fear. What man is he that life desires, to seek good would live long? Thy lips refrain from speaking guile, and from ill words thy tongue. Psalm 34 at verse 8 to 13, four stanzas. O taste and see that God is good. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.